But we're going to start. We were just telling you about it. The Defense Department is not going to ask for more funding in fiscal 2012. Instead, it's doing what many Americans and non-DOD agencies have to do, tighten their belts and make hard choices about spending priorities. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller joins us with details on DOD's plan to move $100 billion from administrative functions to the warfighting mission. Tooth to tail is what they so often call it. How does DOD, $100 billion, I mean,
a lot of money.
A billion here, a billion there. Pretty soon you're talking real money. That's a lot of money.
Well, Defense Deputy Secretary William Lynn says DOD is really taking a three-pronged approach. The first is to look at non-essential programs and where they can be reduced. The second focuses on finding efficiencies in what DOD calls force structure and modernization spending. And this is the military, the warfighting accounts. As a reminder, DOD already did this with the F-22 fighter when it ended that program. It ended the VH-171 helicopter in part to save money.
The third track in this process is to improve the operating efficiencies of the department itself. In other words, to improve the agility of how the department operates, how the forces operate. And in that, we're talking about a flatter organization, fewer headquarters, smaller staffs, generally more efficiency.
Lynn says the goal of the first two tracks are really all about money, but the third one is a bit different. The goal of the third track, which you just described, is to have better operations, more agility in those operations, and really take a deep dive into how the DOD does their business, which in many years, and this is very interesting that Deputy Secretary Lynn talked about it this way, but they've gotten a bit fat over the last 15 years, receiving huge budget increases year after year after year. And he says, listen, that happens to any organization. We could probably do some trimming around the edges specifically. Lynn says DOD expects to save about $66 billion from reducing the non-essential programs and from improving operations to be more efficient. And the remaining $34 billion will come from improving how the warfighter already operates. Each service, DOD agency, and even the combatant commands will be asked to play a pretty big role in this effort, and this also includes the Office of the Secretary of Defense as well. And DOD is looking not just at each single service or component, but across the entire department.
There will be a cross-cutting department process to look for efficiencies. This will be in the nature of a front-end assessment. We already have eight of them going on. This will be a ninth, and there are six or seven groups looking at things like personnel policies, including medical costs, TRICARE, as Secretary mentioned in his speech, organizational restructuring, acquisition practices, logistical efficiencies, and so on. And these will be led by the OSD staff.
The end goal is to help the warfighters see about a 2-3% increase in overall spending rather than the typical or more what's expected of a 1-1.5% increase that the White House and Congress has been giving them over the past few years.
If you're holding your force structure constant, generally what you think you need over time is 2-3% real growth in order to service that force structure, refresh the technology, recapitalize the force, modernize the force. I think that judgment of 2-3% has been proved over history and is generally right. What we're trying to do here is to get that 2-3% in the accounts where it's needed, force structure and modernization, without asking for an increase in the top line. So that if we're able to reduce overhead accounts where we don't need those increases, shift it to the force structure and modernization accounts, we can get that 2-3% and we can do what we think we need to do.
On just one other kind of an aside that he mentioned the acquisition idea of looking at acquisition and potentially reducing it. Lynn says that the increase in the acquisition workforce that they're expecting, about 20,000 people over the next 5 years, half will come from insourcing from contractor position, and the other half will be new hires. And he says actually, even though they're adding all these people, he thinks that in the long run, they'll actually be saving money. One, I think DOD believes that bringing those people in from contractor positions will be cheaper. And secondly, they'll make the department overall a better buyer.
On Monday, we're going to talk to GAO about these high-performing organizations. They did a study, and in the report, they largely say they're not using them because they see no need. It's not required anymore.
Right.
And if you're going to get these kinds of efficiencies, it seems like
high-performing organizations may make a little sense.
So how is this different from previous attempts to save money? I mean, we've heard this before, frankly.
I think you're correct. The fact is DOD seems to try this every few years. It tightens its belt. It wants to save money. And sometimes they have more success than others. But Lynn points to a few reasons why he thinks this time actually will have a bigger impact than previously.
to get $100 billion, you're going to have to identify lower priority programs that are not going to be part of future budgets. Secretary has shown an ability to take those tough choices. Second, it is the necessity here. We're in a fiscal situation where it is difficult to shift additional resources to any budget, including defense. And we feel it's our responsibility, before we would even consider asking for any more resources, to go through this drill as strongly and as comprehensively as we can. Third, I think a difference here is the comprehensiveness of this effort. It exceeds at least most of the past efforts I'm aware of, that we're engaging all of the different aspects of the department, all of the components, all of the military departments, the combatant commanders, the OSD staff. I think the incentive structure here is important, that the services are keeping their savings, so they have every incentive to find them.
I think that's the biggest difference, that last bit, what he said. The services can keep their savings, and the components too, obviously. Mm-hmm. In the past, DOD would collect the savings, put them into a central fund, and then redistribute them. Well, if you're losing money...
No motivation.
What's your motivation?
Why do this if I'm just going to have this money taken away from it?
Exactly, and yeah. I think they recognize that was a big problem in the past, and they're going to try to solve it by saying, hey, if you find the money, re-put it into your force modernization accounts. Now, he did say, because there was a couple questions from the reporters during the press briefing, that, well, what if the secretary needs to do something else with the money? And he goes, well, the secretary has that discretion to take money.
But as he has a discretion regardless.
Right. So yeah. It doesn't matter if the money's there or not. I mean, he has a... So the cross-cutting groups also, I think, is another big difference in previous attempts. Lynn says DOD hasn't really raised the copay costs in TRICARE costs or for medical services since TRICARE was established in the 1990s. He says that DOD will continue to treat troops and retirees fairly, but it doesn't mean that you can't ever raise costs for healthcare. And I think that's what these cross-cutting groups will do. Okay, what is the copay? What's the difference? How much do we think we can raise it that's fair, that's in line with what everybody else is paying, or even less than what everyone else is paying, but still it helps us kind of close the gap of money?
And that's been one of the really interesting discussions coming out of this. You hear businesses talk about, okay, I can't handle the increasing rate of health costs, and government's facing that as well.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing about the cross-cutting groups is interesting is that it's not just healthcare. I mean, it's acquisition, it's logistics, it's personnel. So they'll look at, do we really need, 20 people doing X, Y, Z work, which goes back to your high-performing organizations question.
So what's the time frame here?
The Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and obviously the Marines have been asked to save about $2 billion in 2012. DOD overall will look to save about $7 billion over the next year.
We're going to see the initial effort on July 31st, and maybe you'll see it too, when the services submit their programs and budgets. We will then take the rest of the year, essentially, to shape that into a budget submission for fiscal 12. I think the Secretary very much wants to get started early and establish momentum for this. So I think you will see decisions over the course of the summer and the fall at least start down the path of overhead reductions and efficiency savings.
What will be really interesting is the reaction from Capitol Hill. I tried to contact the House Armed Services Committee, but this being Memorial Day recess, this being Friday afternoon,
yeah,
I didn't hear back
you.
From them. Yeah, not so great. But the Senate Armed Services Committee, as well as the Appropriations Committee, haven't put any kind of press releases out either. But it's going to be interesting to see what they take, because a lot of times you hear there's support, we think this is a great thing, but then when it comes down to writing and passing laws, they go in an entirely different direction than what DOD and the White House
is
doing.
It's a little interesting doing it on a Friday, frankly.
Below the radar. The end of the week. I would agree with that. And this came up, and you were one who saw the press advisory. It was like 7 o'clock last night they put it out. So I think that they have some excitement about it, but they want to temper it down. Lynn also will be meeting with lawmakers to ensure they understand what DOD is doing. And I'm sure that he'd probably brief some members of the Armed Services Committee before they announced these steps and made them public.
Mm. It's a big story, and we've been talking about it. Secretary Gates really seems to be, he has made tough choices
and
taken on people, said, no, we don't want this.
And remember, there was a veto threat on the defense bill for the alternative engine for, the F-35. So potentially, this could come to a big head, especially if some of these cuts they want to also add to that list of stuff they don't want anymore, and Congress says, whoa, we want this.